During my locum and Max West have faithfully been following through the lectionary this year, which is lectionary year A, and hence why I'm following into Matthew at the moment and a reading today. Here's a wee story to get you into the sort of thinking mood. A mother ran into her bedroom when she heard her seven-year-old son absolutely screaming. She found her two-year-old sister pulling his hair. She gently released the little girl's grip from his hair and started comforting the little boy. "There, there, Johnny. She didn't mean it. She doesn't know that it hurts you to do that." He nodded his acknowledgement, and Mum went and left the room. She started back down the hall when she suddenly heard an almighty scream, and she rushed back in. And she said, "What happened?" And wee Johnny said, "She knows now, Mum." And that's forgiveness. The servant had obviously been helping himself to his master's wealth. The Good News Bible, when you read it out of that, talked about millions. In today's language, we're probably talking billions. That's how big and vast the sum Jesus used in the parable. The king saw the servant on his knees, and he showed great mercy. The man's down there is going to be sold, his wife, his kids, they're all going to be sold off to try and help me pay this debt. "Oh, please, please." And great mercy, "You are free to go." Now, the question is, do you see a man skipping along the road, full of joy, happiness, and immense gratitude that the king has granted him forgiveness? Or do you see a man walking down the road, bumping every, "Hey, I've just pulled one off the king. Oh, boy, have I just pulled one off him. Oh, it was a great one. Can he beat that one? I've nicked millions off him. He just let me go free. Whoa, look at me. Look at me. Such a great man." And then he walks up and he catches a wee man. "You owe me £5. A whole £5. Give me it back." And the man says, "Oh, please, please. I'll give me a few days. I'll pay it back. I want it now or in jail." The servants, fellow servants, you can understand them. Absolutely furious that this man's been given his freedom from this great wealth. Wealth that he'd probably helped to accumulate, helped to build and master up. Take it away. Free. Free to start a new life. But no. The moment he saw somebody who owed him, like, demanded it and threw him into jail. So the king, quite rightly, "You've had your chance. You're in jail." Notice the difference, though. In the first part of that story, it was going to be the servant, his wife, and his children. This time, it's only the servant who's sent out to be tortured and into jail for the rest of their life, because there's no way he'll ever be to repay that amount of money back. The difference is, Jesus is dealing with the one person, and he offered that person a complete freedom, everything. The man must have been absolutely petrified. All this wealth nicked, if you want a way of saying it, from his master. Every time he spoke about money, I'll do the books, I'll get it sorted. So that he was covering his own tracks. He must have lived a horrible life, because it must have been such a fear. And he was offered a one-off opportunity for freedom, and he couldn't take it. The unforgiveness is like a cancer on your soul, a spiritual prison enslaving, holding you back. It just won't let you go. It just can't let you forgive. As I was saying to the children, three little words in the English vocabulary, I forgive you. But how often do we hold back from saying those words? How often we know we should say it. We know we inside us wants to say it, but somehow it just won't come out. We just can't do it. We can't say it. And of course we get more and more anxious. The human nature of us is like that. And that's what drove Peter to suggest, Lord, how many times should I forgive? The law in those days, by the rabbis, would say three times. If you keep sinning against you three times, go and tell everybody about it thereafter. Share it with everybody. Tell him that's a bad man. He did this, that against me. Tell everybody about him. He's had his three chances. That's it. Peter thought he was doing well to say seven. But Jesus said, no, not seven, but 70 times seven. Enough is enough, you might say. But when is that the case? In Jesus' time, it's never going to be enough. It's always going to be never enough. Because he's pouring it out. He's pouring his forgiveness to each one of us. He's already done that in church with us this morning. When we took our moments of silence and asked for his forgiveness. He's already done that with us. He's wiped our slate clean. We are free. We leave here guilt-free, absolutely free of our sin, because our Lord loves each one of us so much. His love knows no bounds. It knows no end. It has no limit. That's the kind of depth of love our Lord has for us. Leave back the old self. Start the new life in the freedom of our Lord. That, to me, is a very, very relevant message for church to share in society today. Because of our countless number of people outside totally trapped in themselves because they cannot forgive or forget. They cannot let go of something that's happened in their past. They just cannot let it go. Somebody's maybe said sorry 1,000 times to them, but they cannot reply that back, I forgive you. One of the lasting images of the Vietnam War, when I was just a fairly young teenager at the time, but one of the last things I remember coming on television was a young girl running down the road with her back completely burnt off. The napalm bomb had been dropped on the village. And she was running down there screaming absolutely beyond. But you know, in 2004, I think it was, that young girl grew up and she flew out to America and she met the pilot who dropped that bomb, and she stood right in front of him and she said, with hundreds of people around about her, I forgive you. That girl had spent her childhood in and out of hospital in agony, skin graft after skin graft after skin graft, trying to repair the damage that happened in that war. She found the freedom to forgive him. And that's what God offers you and I. That's the blessing we have. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews wrote to encourage the Christian flock. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That's where the forgiveness comes from, the heart. If we can forgive from the heart, like that young girl did to the American pilot, then we are on the way to healing then we're on the way to understanding the depth of the love of Christ has for us. Jesus hung on the cross to win the life of forgiveness for you and me. He died this by dying for our sin, atoning for our sin at death. Yes, God reconciled every sinner by the blood shed on the cross by our Lord Jesus. When you look the next time and you say to somebody, and you look at somebody who owes you one or really has done you something wrong, don't look at them as an enemy. Look upon them as one whom Jesus has also died for. A fellow brother, a fellow sister. And I know in my own heart, and I know in my own mind, is a very, very, very difficult place to be. Those 22 people who died in the Manchester arena in April, how can the families forgive that man for doing that atrocity? But that's what our Lord is asking us. The depth of his forgiveness goes beyond. Nobody, but nobody on this earth is beyond forgiveness of our Lord. And we have to share that forgiveness out with others. Jesus' words on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." That's the depth of the love. It's for everyone. It's for all. You might ask, where do I see God's forgiveness in the Bible? King David. Adulterer, betrayer, carry on with David. Yet, our Lord forgave him. Think of Peter. I don't know that man. I don't know that Nazareth. I never heard of him. Who's that man? Not me. I'm not his follower, no. Three times denied before him. Jesus forgave him. St. Paul stood there, egging them on. Go on, pick that bigger rock up so they could kill St. Stephen. Go on. God forgave him. And he became one of the greatest evangelists. That's the depth of forgiveness that we can see and we know in the Bible. And that's the forgiveness that you and I have to follow out with others. So let's just take a moment or two and share that. Turn to somebody beside you and say to them, God loves you and he has forgiven you. Just take a moment and do that. God loves you. God loves you. Forgive you. God loves you. I don't know if that helped you. I don't know if it did anything for you. But the idea behind that was to show you it can be done. That forgiveness. And that forgiveness, I see one or two people smiling. I see one or two people looking happier. Maybe it's because I'm at the end of the sermon, I don't know. But it's good to see, but it's good to share that. And let's think about that in our lives this